this was a big day for me and you ruined it.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With Us, Melrose Place. Today's episode is Season 7, Episode 32, Floral Knowledge. Now, here are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Is that supposed to be a play on carnal knowledge?
I guess. I don't know what it has to do with this episode, honestly.
No.
He knew her florally.
Is it like mavely? I don't get it. Anyway, hello everyone. Before we get into and hopefully quickly out of this episode, an announcement about Again With This, episode 188 that drops April 19th. We'll be watching Michelle Williams, David Charvet, and Alexandra Aunt Terry Paul in Baywatch. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm dragging us back to the beach for season 4, episode 1, Race Against Time, part 1. That is on Peacock. You can also find it on Prime, Tubi, the Roku channel, whatever floats your streaming boat, as it were. This was a hilarious experience, and we hope that you will join us on our Patreon. That's at againwiththispodcast.com/club. You can hear, you know, the other 187 episodes of ancillary material that we have covered, often laughing, often groaning. Speaking of groaning, this episode, let's do it.
Oh God, yes. All right. Let's start with our B plot. The McBrides make big moves for and against women in their lives. We open this plot line on Ryan continuing to be a terrible father, telling Terry on the phone that he didn't put Sarah on the plane because she didn't want to go back. And I hate to agree with Terry because she seems like a bitch, but when she spits that you don't let a child make a decision like that, she is right.
Mm-hmm.
You don't.
Yeah.
There's some plot resetting of the stuff that we know, ending on Terry ordering Ryan to send Sarah back now over to the construction site where Jane comes to see Kyle. She thought he might want to talk, but he just sighs that his marriage is over. Jane didn't want to come between him and Amanda, and Kyle says Amanda did think there was something going on between Kyle and Jane. Is there? But neither wants to be the first to admit there is, so Jane just turns around to leave, and Kyle miserably watches her go. And after the credits, we're at the park, where Sarah and Megan giddily enjoy the swing set, and then both ride bikes they somehow have, with no helmets on. I was happy that you noted, Sarah.
Yeah, come on. This isn't the 70s. Come on.
Also, Sarah is gripping a stuffed dog on one handlebar, which she seems a little old for, in my opinion. She's like 9.
I guess. I mean, but she flew with it. So
yeah.
If that was her like emotional support stuffy on a flight, fine. But I mean, opposite Erica McKay.
Right. Right.
They don't understand how old girls are if they're not 17 and fucking. So,
Yeah. Anyway, we come out of the montage into Sarah and Megan playing Cat's Cradle and Sarah precociously saying that unlike her other vacations with Kyle, this is real family and asking if Kyle and Megan are going to get married. Megan overshares that they were engaged, but Kyle called it off and Sarah resets even more of this plot that we know, most essentially that she told Kyle it's okay with her now if he marries Megan. Before Megan can react, Ryan is there, followed by a cop and a pent suited social worker named Nancy. Somehow Sarah knows what this is and is immediately terrified and is right. They're taking her to a special center until her flight. Megan asks if she can come since Sarah won't know anyone, but A, that's obviously not allowed, and B, maybe her dad should be offering this instead of some lady that Sarah met 3 days ago, just saying. But whatever. Sarah bravely tells him she'll be okay and departs without saying goodbye. And then later, back at his place, under some other extremely ugly wall art, this one says "Vin salut." It's like so out of character for Ryan, even more so than the one with all the hearts. Oh god.
Yeah.
Ryan's lawyer Elway shows up later than expected and asks if Sarah has ever told Ryan about physical abuse, and Ryan is horrified as Elway explains that Sarah is alleging Terry abused her, so Sarah is scared to go back to her. And to his credit, Ryan firmly says Terry would never do that, even as Megan suggests Sarah might have just been afraid to tell Ryan because she thought he might not believe her. But Ryan is certain and says they need to get Terry to LA and straighten this out. And when we return to this plotline, Terry's knocking on Ryan's door, being very friendly when Megan introduces herself, but maybe that's just because she wants to pump Megan for information, like whether she and Ryan live together. Megan explains her situation, and then Ryan is also there glaring at Terry, who immediately tells him tearfully she never hit Sarah. Ryan assures her that he never thought that was true. And now they have to focus on getting Sarah back. And as Ryan comforts Terry, Megan watches suspiciously. And this turn for Terry, I mean, I guess we'll get to it, but it's like this. No, I don't buy this at all.
No, this isn't the only plot line in which they're doing more than they need to to sort of drive us towards the end game. Like,
right.
Even if you're kind of stalling before the finale where you give us all what we want and then go on your way, find other ways to do it.
Yeah.
And with actors who are maybe capable of this level of histrionic melodrama, because Edward James almost et al. Are not it. And did
no.
I make this comment just so I could cram in Edward James almost? Fucking A, I did.
Sure.
Make my own fun. That's
yeah.
how you do.
No one ever has wanted a kid on this show. We certainly don't want a kid on this show with three episodes to go after this. Total.
No. And fucking don't name her Sarah, dicks. Jesus.
It really is rude.
It is. Thank you.
Anyway, over to a flower market where Kyle finds Jane at her new job. Clip two.
What happened the other night? I mean, did you know? Because I've thought about it and I can't figure it out.
I don't know what I was thinking. I mean, you just broke up with Amanda. You're confused.
Not about Amanda.
Maybe we should just try to be friends.
We're already friends.
So I guess we're back where we were the other night.
No, we're not. I'm not going to blow this. If I wait, I could lose you.
Who cares?
Don't, but also, like, your marriage ended truly yesterday. Like, you can
wait
more than that length of time.
Well, after everything that the show has put not only this marriage, but also us who never were rooting for it through.
Yes.
Like, this marriage also has ended before.
Yeah.
And then you immediately reversed it. So I guess your point stands, but it's like... I mean, this is sort of what I mean. Like, just do the crazy Poochie went back to his home planet thing.
Right.
Who cares? Who cares? Truly, free yourselves and us.
Yeah. Well, alas, we're not freed from the McBrides yet. The next night, Terry and Ryan prepare to welcome Sarah back from foster care with a very childish drawing, Terry, that you can see in the visual aids. Although it does, you know, as noted, fit in with Ryan's other shitty art. Getting closer to Ryan, Terry gives him some significant looks as she describes how her life changed when she took in Sarah. But sometimes change is good, she says meaningfully. And then Megan comes home and breaks the spell question mark. Terry announces she's going to take a leave of absence from St. Agnes's so that she and Sarah can stay with Ryan all summer. And Megan's like, great. And also, Terry and Sarah are going to take Ryan's room, and Ryan's going to sleep on the couch and not at his girlfriend's place in what I'm pretty sure is a two-bedroom, because I think Megan is in Allison and Billy's old place, but whatever. Okay, cool.
Oh, and the abuse accusation was just settled.
Yeah, it poofed away.
Off screen. Mm-hmm. That, I guess, which is fine. I don't need the show trying it on screen with this group. But,
yeah.
Like, while we're doofing around with Mrs. Tony, who we'll get to, like, all of this is getting settled by Sarah being like, psych!
Uh-huh.
Sure.
Mm.
Okay.
Yep. But whatever, they can't discuss any of these logistics right now because Sarah is back, and the social worker just opens the door to let Sarah in and leaves without anyone, like, signing anything? Like, you know, seems normal.
Mm-hmm. Great job, LA.
Ryan, not sounding very forceful, tells Sarah not to tell any more lies, and she apologizes to Ryan and then Terry, but she just wanted Terry to see that Ryan's not so bad. And Terry breathes that Ryan's not bad at all, and then Megan has to watch the three of them looking like a family from the outside of the circle, just like Amanda did, like, in the last episode. Like, how many times are we going to do this? Anyway... At the beach house, Jane opens the door to a thick trail of rose petals leading into the bedroom, where Kyle has somehow acquired a plinth from a museum to put an enormous bouquet of roses on before sneaking up behind her. Like, You can see it in the visual aids. I'm not exaggerating. It's like, it's no. completely insane.
And also, this amount of flowers with someone who basically like has no active income.
Mm-hmm.
And all he does for his quote job is work on that stupid house, which is going to be washed away in a single, not that big storm.
Yeah.
Where did he get the money for this? And then he's like, I hope you like flowers. Like, I hope you like cleaning up after this big gesture bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
People do not do this kind of thing.
Mm-mm.
It's annoying.
Also, as previously established, she works at the Flower Mart now, so like maybe she doesn't want to take her work home with her. This is kind of like a busman's romantic gesture. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But anyway, she says he's the mystery man who bought out her shop, and they go on. Clip 3.
You are so easy to pay with. When I moved out, I realized how much I missed being here.
Does that mean we're friends or more?
It depends. Friends can spend each day together and it's still not enough. And make love every night like it's the first time. Then yeah, we're friends.
Best friends.
Okay. Fine. I mean, go ahead.
Like, I'm happy for this at that time. Couple that they guys like make out on screen, and that's all fine. And there ensues after this a literally endless sex scene, which I'm fine with because it eats clock and the show is so pointless at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But oh my god, like you just had to get one more make love in there to annoy me, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for nothing.
Also, what we know of Kyle's romantic history is that it includes the Susan Walters, whatever her character's name was from the war,
mm-hmm.
and Taylor and mm-hmm. Amanda. Like, mm-hmm. since when has he ever wanted a woman where the main feature of their relationship is it's easy to be with her? Like, you know what I mean? That's not his type.
No.
But whatever.
Yeah. And somewhere Nick is like, hey.
Oh, yeah. I forgot Nick. Great point. Anyway, I mean, you know, it's great that you got to fool around on camera, I guess, and commemorate this moment in your lives. But at a certain point, it's like, now we're just watching married people fool around and it's weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agree.
And then the McBrides are having a barbecue at the beach, Ryan noting that Kyle and James seem cozy. Kyle doesn't want to jinx it. Terry asks Jane about Ryan and Megan, and Jane assumes Terry wants to make sure Megan will be a good mother to Sarah, but Terry says she wants to know if Ryan's really happy. And Megan shows up just then. Sarah gives her a big hug. Megan is updating Ryan on a work problem we'll get to in the A-plot when Terry comes over and inserts herself in a very territorial way. When Jane asks, Megan admits she's not thrilled about the summer plan, but that she didn't get a vote, and that's where we leave things for now. Like, Terry's basically entire motivation has flipped in 24 hours and whatever, it's fine, I guess.
Good luck to everybody. Just get on with it. That's all we ask.
Indeed. Speaking of getting on with it, our A plot. Marlon and his dependents are entangled with almost everyone. Tony and Amanda are on the cruise making toasts. Clip 4.
To the most magnificent cruise line in the world, mine.
And to the only ad agency that can do it justice, mine.
Fine, business, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Tony comments that Amanda's always selling and tells her to find him Eve, so it's convenient that Eve appears just then on an upper level with Peter. So Tony is pissed and says if Amanda wants Tony's account, she needs to keep Peter away when he's in the sack with Eve. He doesn't want to worry about her jealous husband interrupting them. And like, I guess I'll take in the sack over making love, honestly.
Yeah.
Amanda didn't think this was just about holding hands, did she? He asks. But Tony puts on a friendly face as he and Amanda walk over and greet Eve and Peter. Amanda immediately managing expectations by saying Peter will give her someone to play with while Eve is becoming a big star, which ew, at play with, first of all. But second, won't Amanda also have to be present for whatever work Eve is doing that Amanda is risking her entire agency on? Because I would have thought she did. Whatever. There's another toast to a memorable cruise for all of them. Very different reactions accompany the clink. And back in L.A., Lexi wraps up loud and acrobatic sex with Michael and then announces that she wants to raid the fridge, expositing clip 5.
24 hours straight? I don't think I've ever done that with any guy before.
Yeah, well, I'm not just any guy. I'm like 100 roll to one. The erotic permutations are endless, my dear.
Tara gets this fan service. I get some brat with a stuffed dog who's riding a bike without a helmet. Where's the justice, I ask you?
It does seem hot until he's about to try to introduce mustard into their lovemaking. Of all the condiments.
It's not the spicy kind, Tara.
All right, fair. Anyway, then there is a knock at the door. Lexi's assistant, Julie, is only briefly uncomfortable about having obviously just interrupted a sex marathon before telling Lexi about Amanda's latest big business moves, dropping half her clients, laying off half her staff, going after Tony's Cruise Lines. Lexi gets rid of Julie and tells Michael it's time to go in for the kill. Michael says Lexi's not going to have time, what with the sex plans he has for her, but Lexi's even hornier for money and power than she is for him somehow, although she will have just a little more sex while she's strategizing as a treat. On the ship, Peter watches Eve shooting the commercial. Badly, clip 6.
This is the vacation of a lifetime. I love it, and I feel like I'm falling in love with you all over again.
I kind of love it when actors get to act like they are bad at acting, because I don't think Rita Sofer is untalented, and this was funny to me.
Yeah, this is not a huge separation between her usual line readings, but that's not her fault.
Yeah. Tony hisses at Amanda that Eve is never going to get the kiss right if Peter is there. And when they cut, Eve runs over to Peter to ask how she's doing, and he gets kind of salty about watching her try to kiss someone else when apparently the two of them haven't had any kind of sex since they got on the ship. What with the hair and makeup people buzzing around her and weirdos sending her flowers. Eve says the flowers were from Tony as a professional courtesy. Speaking of, Tony appears to grab Eve away, and as Amanda leads Peter off, Tony decides to try his hand at directing. Clip 7.
You're rushing the moment. Make her want you.
Kisses her.
Like that.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, like in Eve, I feel bad for Rena Sofer in this episode, particularly because like the writing seems to want everybody to be very conflicted in the Eve, Peter, Tony, indecent proposal triangle.
Yes.
But she clearly has something happening below the waist when Tony steps into this moment. I mean, it didn't exactly crackle for me, but she sold being kind of, you know. So it's like, just go with it. Mm-hmm. Like this character's motivations have always been completely all over the place. Just say that she's emotionally immature because of the time that she spent incarcerated and get rid. But no, it can't be that simple. We have to needlessly complicate things for another 4 hours. I don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah. So hours later, Amanda lists all the activities she and Peter engaged in today. If Amanda staked her agency's whole future on this commercial, Peter doesn't know why she's spending all her time with him. Oh, wow. That's what I said. And Amanda, looking away guiltily, lies. Clip 8.
I don't want to interfere with the creative process. You know how testy actors can be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've heard that.
That was cute, too.
Yeah.
Since Peter's on his honeymoon, he's going to go find his wife. And Amanda gives him a look, and they flirt, argue about whether she gave him a look, and she did. You can see it in the visual aids. But over to the pool, Eve is swimming fully clothed as Tony pours her champagne, and apparently not the first. She is excited about how the day went, and Tony's very complimentary, which is when Peter shows up. Eve chirps that they were wondering where he was, but Peter's in no mood. Clip 9.
Get out of the pool. Now.
Back off, Doctor.
Easy. Come on, get out of the pool.
Hey, we were just unwinding.
Well, I'll be back in our room. Unwinding.
Peter! That's Peter pushing Tony in the pool.
Tony!
nice that they get to use pools outside of the complex for this purpose as well.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, shades of Ray Pruitt with the get out of the pool.
Mm-hmm.
No. We need to be on his side.
Yeah. So Eve runs after Peter, protesting her innocence. He ruined her great day. And no, Peter did not interrupt them just before Eve made it with Tony. She says, Tony's in show business. He's not. He was just giving her pointers. Peter says Tony was just trying to fuck her, which she denies, adding that even if he was, doesn't mean she would do it. Peter says it looks like she was halfway there in the pool, and she slaps him. And as Peter stalks out, Amanda enters and asks what's going on. Eve says she and Tony were celebrating. Peter took it all wrong. Amanda says Peter is messing up everything, but Eve says it's not him. Everything about Tony is so fascinating. And she babbles on briefly, then says she's drunk. And Amanda agrees and tells her to get some sleep. And as Amanda covers her, still in her wet dress from the pool, by the way, like, okay, enjoy that chafing, I guess. Eve tells her about Tony kissing her and that she liked it. And Amanda says Eve should just sleep it off. Amanda will take care of everything. But in the hall, she has doubts. The next morning, Michael wakes up alone in Lexi's bed, guessing that she is making him breakfast, but she's not. She throws the door open and shows him that what she's got cooking is some hot lingerie. Clip 10.
Wow. I died and went to heaven. Come to Mikey, boy.
Hey, watch it. It's not for you. Honey, I'm going after this really hot account, the Duchess Cruise Lines.
And you're wearing this hot little number underneath your work clothes for what? Added confidence?
Baby, these are my work clothes.
Huh?
Oh, please don't look so shocked. It's not like he's going to see me naked for at least 10 minutes.
So you're going to have sex with a guy you never met before on the chance you might get his account? You know what that's called?
Yeah.
That's,
business.
And how am I supposed to feel about that?
Proud. Oh, Mikey, honey, with you, I have no ulterior motives. Sleeping with you is nothing but really... Sex.
No more.
Uh-uh.
That's very flattering.
Mm-hmm. Here we go. Don't forget to lock up.
That was Michael falling out of bed.
I see what they're doing, but there's this very Samantha on Sex and the City thing that she, like, Cattrall could do it. Jamie Lunar can't.
No.
She's trying.
She's doing her best.
Yeah. This is probably the best direction they could go with someone who can't be directed, really, because she's not good. But sure, that's fine. Michael seems more or less content. Whatever. Enjoy.
On the ship, Amanda has breakfast with Peter, telling him that he would enjoy the trip more if he could control his temper and let Eve do her job. And the captain comes to tell them about a day excursion. And Peter, crabby from sleeping on a deck chair the night before, is about it. And when he leaves and Tony joins her, Amanda tells him about Peter's plans, and Tony orders her to go with him and make sure that he misses the boat back. And then Eve is there looking for Peter. Tony says where he is, and when she runs off, Tony tells her to make sure Peter knows the launch back is at 7. And Amanda cuts her eyes at him but doesn't say anything until Eve is gone, and then asks what the actual launch time is. And he is really serious about Peter getting left behind because it's at 5. Like, there's not even a half hour. Like, a good, solid 2-hour cushion so that there's no chance. But Peter will be too busy with Amanda to find that out, won't he? Tony says. And then Eve finds Peter and apologizes, taking all the blame for their fight and denying when he asks that she has feelings for Tony. And they go on, clip 11.
You know, we do this a lot. We fight, we make up.
Relationships are new to me. I'm sorry. I just want things to get better. Hey, the launch comes back at 7. Why don't we have dinner in our cabin tonight? Just you and me. We'll make up for all the things I've done.
I don't know.
Please?
Okay.
Right.
I mean, they were, like, annoying until this scene, and then I'm like, oh, like, don't make me root for this. She sucks, and she's not Amanda.
Yep. It's because of him. He's good.
Yeah, it's true.
On the island excursion, Amanda and Peter have apparently just finished playing golf, because of course they have, as she tries to make him admit he had fun, and he stubbornly refuses, calling the whole island a dump. Peter snits that he's remembering why he and Amanda got divorced, her constant ridicule and abuse, and his constant sarcasm, she counters. He notes that it's 5 and asks what they're supposed to do for the next few hours, and Amanda decides they'll have some tequila, and Peter can't say no. And then at Lexi's fake office, I guess Lexi has just spent the whole day in her lingerie because it's dark out when we see her take off her coat and start dancing in her underwear. And a woman appears at her office door, embarrassed. Lexi starts to say she was expecting someone else, and her visitor is like, "My husband." Oops, Tony is away, but Lexi's offer to pitch him an ad campaign beyond his wildest dreams was too compelling for Mrs. Marlin to ignore. While she speaks, she picks up a letter opener and pops one of the buttons off of Lexi's coat. And Lexi touts her fake company's fake prestige before warning Mrs. Marlin that she's messing with very expensive buttons. But Mrs. Marlin doesn't care, pops off another one, and then says she knows Tony has affairs, but Viagra has pushed his endurance into overdrive. And then she pulls a gun on Lexi as she says many of Tony's young female associates have met with unfortunate accidents. But when she fires, it's just a lighter. And no, Lexi does not have a cigarette for Mrs. Marlin, who asks for it, because Lexi tries to stay healthy and Mrs. Marlin urges her to keep making smart choices like that for a good long life. All right.
What? Did someone win writing this scene in a radio contest? I don't hate it. It's just sort of like, guys, it's episode 32.
Yeah.
What are we doing? And why are we still doing it?
You can't be introducing new villains at this late stage. Mm-hmm. Like, Tony was enough. Not Mrs. Tony also.
And Mrs. Tony is so much better of an actor than her, quote, better half.
Yeah.
And more interesting. And like, she is like pranking Lexi with a Archie McPhee gag gift. Who wrote this? Mel Brooks? Like, again, I don't hate it, but like, it's too late for this.
Mm-hmm. Back to the ship, where Mrs. Marlin's husband shows up at Eve's room just as she is lighting candles for her dinner with Peter. Tony shrugs that Amanda and Peter missed the launch and will have to stay on the island for a couple of days until the ship can pick them up. And Eve and her erect nipples again wonder if Peter did it on purpose because he's still mad. And Tony encourages her to believe Peter stranded himself with a beautiful woman to get even with Eve. Seriously, with the nipples, before we move on, it's like, give this woman a break.
She has great boobs. That's not the issue.
No.
But like, this was on in a primetime time slot.
Yeah.
On a network.
Yes.
Band-Aids. Find some.
What am I supposed to tell my children? Anyway, he asks, weren't Peter and Amanda married once? That was a long time ago, and Eve trusts them completely. But Tony purrs that she doesn't trust them at all. She doesn't even trust herself. And he starts kissing her and then guesses she's not ready, but it's okay. They have plenty of time. He leaves, and Eve, you know, wets her pants. And on the island, Amanda and Peter are drunk and sexily bickering about missing the launch. They head to their separate hotel rooms, but pretty clearly do not want to stay alone. Although when Peter returns to Amanda's door, it's as she's putting on the chain and he hears that and drifts away. And in the lobby the next day, the concierge tells Peter that due to a labor strike, chartering a plane is the only way he could get off the island before next week. And Amanda tells Peter the cruise is coming back to get them the next night, which is great news for the concierge because it means they can come to his daughter's wedding that night. Peter's annoyed, but Amanda's excited to take him shopping for a wedding gift. Yes, what could be more fun? Oh my God, the most boring shopping you could do.
True. However, even the workers' party of Sinceros, or whatever this island's name is called, is like, just get together, you two, shit's sake.
For real.
Thank you.
Yes.
Solidarity.
That night, Lexi eavesdrops on Megan coordinating with a colleague about picking up the film from the cruise ship commercial. Uh-oh. And at the wedding, Peter is sour about the blender that they got the bride, saying, Amanda doesn't even know if this lady has electricity. Jesus, dude! What the fuck?
Oh my God. I completely missed that. And gross.
Yeah.
Doctor.
Not great. The concierge dances over, and clip 12.
Are you not man enough to show your woman a good time?
Oh, she's not my woman.
You're a disgrace, senor. She is too beautiful for you not to try to make her your woman.
Sorry you're here with a dud.
What did he call me?
A dud.
A dud.
Oh, I love them. Anyway, successfully goaded, Peter pulls Amanda onto the dance floor just in time for the band to switch to a ballad, of course. Amanda closes her eyes and leans into Peter as we have been waiting so long for her to do. And on the ship, Eve joins Tony at the deck. She is obviously ramping up to rejecting him as he caresses her arms and pulls her in for a kiss. Clip 13.
No.
Hey, don't pretend you don't know what's going on here. Amanda and I have a deal. She gets my account, I get you.
What?
She's got $1 million riding on it. And I think I've been patient long enough.
I may have missed a few signals from you and Amanda, and I may not be that experienced in romance, but I did learn a few skills in prison.
That really doesn't feel good.
Wait until I press it into a license plate.
Line of the year. Well done.
It's very good. Yes, that's her clutching his junk in her fist. Tony groans that he has just realized Eve is not really his type, so could she let go of said junk, please? Well, first she needs to know who arranged for Peter to miss the launch, Tony or Amanda. He blames Amanda, and Eve leaves him with whatever is left of his genitals. And on the island, Peter walks Amanda to her hotel room. She enters and gives him a look, so he joins her and they start making out and then abruptly stop, but it's to pick her up and carry her to the bed. Fucking finally!
Yes!
The next morning, Peter's dressed and looking out the window when Amanda wakes up. He sits to say she is free, but he is not. She covers that maybe they just drank too much, but Peter says she knows that's not what this is. And Amanda says that Kyle accused her of never getting over Peter, and she denied it, but now... Peter says he's not going back to the ship because he can't face Eve. He rented a private jet to take him back to L.A., and I guess Amanda is not invited. And speaking of planes, Megan shows up at Mexicali Airlines late to get the film from the Amanda Woodward agency, but it was picked up as soon as the plane landed, and the clerk has no interest in taking the blame for this, and he is right. And then we're at the hospital where an incognita Lexi, that means she's in a button down and a baseball cap, brings the film to Michael in an x-ray lab so that the machine can ruin Amanda's film. Michael points out that all Lexi would need to do is open the cans, but she doesn't want it to look like she tampered with them. What? Like, are they sealed and signed or something? What?
Ugh.
Michael asks if she slept with Tony, and when she says no, he pouts that she would have. So to smooth things over, she unbuttons her blouse and starts kissing him while he zaps the film. And then we're at LAX as Tony comes out to his limo, where a scantily clad Lexi is waiting to say that photos don't do him justice. And when the driver has slunk off, Lexi introduces herself. He tells her about his deal with Amanda, and Lexi asks him to keep her in mind for a backup position. And Tony's not in the mood to talk business until Lexi lets him know what kind of business she's interested in right now. Basic instincting him.
Uh-huh.
Did nice. I gif it? Yes, of course I did. You know I did.
Yeah.
Once she has got his attention, crotch-wise, she gives him her card and climbs out. Phase one accomplished. Not sure how many more phases there can be with this. As we keep saying, there are only 3 episodes left. And on the ship, Eve is packing when Amanda comes to the door and Eve is in no mood. Clip 14.
Where's Peter?
He got a phone call on the island from the hospital, some kind of emergency, and he had a charter a plane back to L.A. Have you seen Tony? He's not in his stateroom.
Oh, he's gone too, because I wouldn't give him what you promised.
What are you talking about?
Tony told me the whole story. He gets me in bed and you get his account. Get out of my face. You make me sick.
Eve, you have to understand my position.
It's always about your position. Did you ever stop to think what this might do to me and Peter? Do you even care?
Of course I care.
I want you out of my life. You don't care about anything but yourself and what you want. And if that means using me and hurting Peter in the process, well, that's just too damn bad. No, get out of here before I rip your throat out.
You got it all wrong.
I said get out if you don't want to get hurt.
Not bad.
Up until this point, the show was trying to have its cake in terms of Eve seeming to understand what the deal was and not minding or being able to walk that tightrope.
Yeah.
And now she's outraged and it's like, okay, just go with it. There's only 3 episodes left. But also, this is the most I've ever liked her.
Mm-hmm.
It's, ugh,
yeah,
I'm exhausted.
It's complicated.
It is.
It's also a bummer that at this late stage, the only person left for Amanda to spar with is the likes of Eve, but that's where we are. Mm. So, yeah. You know, that's where we are. Let's close it up by naming our episode MVP. Eve?
Eve.
I mean, That final scene plus the license plate line, not bad.
Yeah, like, I really never thought that in an episode where Amanda and Peter finally went back to the Bone Zone that I would declare Eve the MVP, but it's a topsy-turvy world we live in.
Least valuable player. Kind of works. Oh, God.
Me, because I can't stop laughing. The Department of Children and Family Services for letting any of this bullshit go on, because come on, guys.
Yeah. But also, Ryan, terrible father. Stop jerking your child around. She's too young to understand all this shit.
Yeah. Next time on Again With This, Dawson's Creek edition. Is it still a boys' trip when the average age of the actress involved is 26? You'll find out when Dawson and Pacey join Billy, different one, on a Providence bar crawl, while back home, Jen helps Joey burn down a rumor mill. Speaking of burning, you may feel some in your corneas when you check out our visual aids. You can find those for all episodes of the podcast at againwiththispodcast.com. We're also on Blue Sky at Again With This, on Instagram at Again With This Podcast, and you can call or text us 210-920-4699. I'm a lighted pistol packer, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is Vacation of a Lifetime, Tara Ariano, and she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole, won't forget to lock up. Talk to you next time. Oh.